In 1955, Congress passed legislation known as the Holt Bill, named for a couple who were pioneers in inter-country adoption. It allowed children to immigrate to the United States in order to be adopted. Until that time, international adoptions were rare. Following the Korean War, hundreds of Korean children were adopted by Americans. Since then, 150,000 children, mostly from Russia, Eastern Europe, Asia, and Latin America, have been adopted. The newest adoptees are benefiting from the lessons learned by Korean-American children who have struggled with issues of race and identity. 5 years ago, NPR's Lynn Neary joined the ranks of families adopting internationally when she and her husband traveled to China to adopt a little girl. As part of our Changing Face of America series on adoption, Lynn examines the challenges that face her and thousands of other parents who have chosen to take this route to creating a family.
When they gave her to me, she was crying, as most babies do when they are first placed in their mother's arms. But hers was not the howl of a newborn raging against the shock of birth. Hers was the cry of an alert 7-month-old being handed over to a stranger.
Are you afraid?
The bond I felt with her was more immediate and intense than I had expected. It took her longer to accept me. It happened a few nights later when I was feeding her. She reached up and started touching my face, moving her fingers over my eyes and nose and mouth as if she were studying them. We stared at each other for a long time. At that moment, I became her anchor in an utterly strange world, and I knew that our love for each other would have to make up for all she had already lost in her very young life.
Adoption is bittersweet. It represents a loss.
Susan Soongum Cox is a vice president at Holt International Children's Services, the adoption agency which pioneered international adoptions. She is also a Korean-American adoptee.
It's certainly a loss to the birth family of not raising the child they've given birth to. It's a loss to the adoptive family of not raising the child that they dreamed of giving birth to. And it's a loss to the adoptee of their connection to birth family, and for international adoptees, to race, culture, and identity that they will probably never really know in the same way. But there is the sweetness that overcomes all of that bitterness as well. But it is both.
Cox was among the first wave of Korean children adopted by Americans after the Korean War. When she arrived here in 1956 at the age of 4, intercultural adoption was still seen as a social experiment. Many people, says Cox, were convinced such adoptions were doomed to failure.
And they would say, these are cute little babies, these are delightful toddlers, but for goodness sakes, what will happen when they grow up? You know, who will give them jobs? Who will marry them? So in response to that, my parents were told, along with other families then, you must Americanize your children as quickly as possible.
Now, says Cox, adoptive parents know they must help their children retain their cultural heritage. They know because older adoptees have told them so. Brought up in the culture of white America, they identified themselves with that society, only to realize as they grew older that the rest of the world saw them as Asian. Struggling to reconcile these two identities, many adoptees formed support groups and began giving workshops for adoptive parents and their children. 2 years ago, they held the first annual gathering of Korean-American adoptees. 29-year-old Rebecca Waxler says she was thrilled to meet so many others who shared her experience, but it was also a shock.
This feeling of, is this what I look like? Looking around the room going, look at all these Asians, look at all these Koreans, you know, not even Asian, just Korean. And feeling, you know, oh, I look like that. You know, that's how people perceive me when I'm looking at these other Asians, because really your internal picture of yourself is not that.
This is the hardest thing for those who have not experienced adoption to understand. Parents and children really do forget or ignore or overlook the obvious, that they do look different. But as children grow older, it becomes imperative to merge the inside with the out. To do that, many, like 27-year-old Todd Knowlton, have gone back to Korea. Although most Korean adoptees were told they had been abandoned and no information about their birth was available, some have found their birth families. Knowlton located his father and brothers. Now, he is still in the process of bringing the two parts of his life together.
I feel more Korean than American now. And I actually get culture shock going home now. It sort of makes me feel uncomfortable because they raised me. I'm a part of that family. But yet now I'm coming back and having those type of thoughts. So it's a little confusing.
Knowlton grew up in St. Mary's County, Maryland, a rural area near the Chesapeake Bay. His parents, Claudia and Jack, still live there.
Todd, do you want ham and turkey?
Todd, you're always hungry. That's a good sign. When you leave, take whatever you need for your
Knowlton's already had two biological children when they decided to adopt. They didn't think it would be possible to adopt domestically, so they went overseas. Claudia Knowlton says they wanted to introduce Todd to some aspects of Korean culture, but there were few resources to help them.
What I do remember is, because I'm a reader looking for books on Korean culture, Korean foods, you know, I thought, well, I'll learn to cook Korean foods. Korean picture books, we couldn't find any.
Or finding a real-life Korean in St. Mary's County.
Todd was the only Asian from miles around. The Knowltons told him it didn't matter that he looked different, that they didn't think of him as different, and they loved him as their own child. But as Todd grew older and began to confront his differences in the larger world, those reassurances didn't work.
What we saw as being loving and accepting was hurtful to him. I mean, he really has sensitized us to issues of identity.
Can you give me an example?
The fact that he's not different. For him, for Todd, Dad, how can you say there? I'm not different. Look around. There's nobody else around here that looks like me.
When Todd decided that he had to go to Korea to look for his birth family, his parents supported the decision, even though they feared he might get hurt or that they might lose him. Now, even as Todd is still trying to figure out how all the pieces of his life fit together, he says his decision to return to Korea has actually brought him closer to his parents.
I think they're realizing now it's not just something I needed to do for myself, it's something that our family had to do for us. Being an international family is very important, and I don't think any of us really realized any of this until now.
These little girls, born in China, are among the newest wave of adoptees entering this country. They're part of a larger circle of families in Washington, D.C., who have adopted from China. We have benefited greatly from the experience of those who came before us. Now there are endless resources, and families make a conscious effort to introduce their children to Chinese culture. But perhaps more importantly, says Eden Anker, we introduce them to each other.
You know, we celebrate Chinese New Year's, but we also celebrated Passover. So it's not just focusing on their Chinese heritage, it's focusing on our families as an extended family to each other.
Because what are they really? I mean, are they American? Are they Chinese? Are they Chinese-American?
They're American-Chinese.
I agree.
They're
American-Chinese, in this case, Jewish.
Or not so Jewish.
Yeah. Irish, Catholic, Italian.
Irish, Catholic,
Jewish.
Polish, Italian. Jewish.
Row, row, merry men, where you going tonight, sir? I'm going.
When my daughter was a baby, I used to bounce her on my lap and sing this song. She still asks me to sing it to her every now and then. I learned it from my Irish grandfather, and every time I sing it to her, I think about my grandparents, all four of them, leaving Ireland, never imagining that one day they would have a great-granddaughter who is Chinese. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.